Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up? Alex Pardo, episode 465 coming at you hot here. Guys, I want to go ahead and dive right into this. First and foremost, if you have not watched and or heard the first real estate investing heavyweights debate, single family versus multifamily, if you haven't seen Rob Swanson and Dave Pairgen represent the single family side and go toe-to-toe with Tim Brotz and Rod Cleef, all good friends of mine, you absolutely have to listen to 464. This debate was straight fire. I mean, if you just go to my Facebook page, you can watch it. If you go to my YouTube, youtube.com/Alex Pardo, you can watch it. And just look at the comments and the engagement. I mean, it's just, I've just been so humbled and overwhelmed by all the positive feedback. And what I've decided to do here on episode 465 to follow that up is we carved out about 13 to 15 minutes of Q&A with these gentlemen at the end. And so this particular episode is the Q&A portion after that debate. And we answered some great questions. We had a lot of my Facebook friends and a lot of the audience that was watching was asking questions. And so we covered quite a few questions and things that are probably on your mind, or if you're not, things that are going to really open up your eyes when it comes to investing in single family rentals, investing in multifamily. And you might even be surprised as to what some of these guys have to share here and how they answer some of these questions. So let's dive into episode 465. This is the Q&A portion of the real estate investing heavyweights debate, single family versus multifamily. Here's what we're going to do. We got again, I just want to be respectful of everyone's time. Right. I carved out 2 hours to 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah, I've got a hard stop in 12 minutes. Forgive me.
But there you go. So we're going to move into Q&A, guys. I'm going to go ahead and seed it because I appreciate everybody on social media who has asked a question. We will not be able to get to all your questions, but there's been a ton of questions already on here. So if you have a question, fire away. We'll try to get to it. Try to be somewhat rapid fire, guys, but give us enough meat on the answer. Dr. David Phelps, mutual friend for, I believe, all of us. Here's a question. How many business cycles have you gone through in your current model? By the way, this question is directed at anybody that wants to take a stab at it. How many business cycles have you gone through in your current model, either multifamily or single family, not real estate in general, and assuming at least one, what lessons did you learn and how are you applying those lessons to today's market?
I'll learn real quick what I learned from the 08, and I think all of us went through it. You know, we've heard a lot about our stories and whatnot, but I learned to not be a speculator and to go for cash flow. And that's what I think what cash we flow. All stand for. Now, don't be speculation.
Cash flow is everything.
Cash flow.
Cash flow is everything. Bottom line, leave it at that. That is the answer. Focus on cash flow. Value's out the window. Doesn't matter. How well does it cash flow?
Okay.
Always buy at a wholesale price. Create appreciation through sweat equity. Never speculate and buy for cash flow.
Yep. Love it.
Well said, gentlemen. Thank you. Mr. Mike Neubauer, a good buddy of mine. Barrier to entry on the multifamily with capital is tough to overcome. How do you overcome that barrier to start doing deals in the millions without a million in your bank account?
Because it's a team sport. You can raise them. You can raise every aspect of the business. Yes, you have to know it. You have to learn the business, build your competence. That'll equate to your confidence, which will equate to your ability to influence. But, you know, the beautiful thing about this business is it's a team sport. So you can raise the money. Like I said, for the earnest money, it's called the at-risk capital, the earnest money, the third party reports for the financing, the due diligence costs, and they get a slice for doing that. You can raise the equity for the deal. We raise the operating expenses for the deal. And so you can raise that money, but you've got to know it, obviously, so you can speak congruently and have the ability to influence. You can't do it day one. You've got to learn the business. But that's the beautiful thing about this business. Yes, multifamily takes money, but it doesn't have to be your own money. And so
hey, you come across a deal and you need money, hit me up.
There you go. Yeah, same here.
Next problem.
Gift that I gave a private money course of, you know, an hour long, you know, on how to raise money. It could be applied to multifamily just as it could be applied to single family and how to approach an investor. And Rod hit the nail on the head. Get yourself knowledgeable and it'll give you the confidence to get out there and raise money.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, there's a lot of comments in here, guys. So thank you for Joe McCall. Love this. Appreciate the love, Joe. A lot of questions here. Let me see here.
By the way, guys, text Rod to 41411 and get that book. If you have any interest in multifamily at all, please, because it'll really help demystify the whole thing.
Yeah. By the way, gentlemen, one quick plug, make sure to head over to reidebate.com. Tim has given us an awesome due diligence checklist. Rod with his questions about, you know, what questions are forming a partnership? Rob Swanson on reviving dead leads. Dave Peterson newly created a video on raising capital. A lot of valuable resources that can help you guys, whether you're a single family investor, multifamily investor, all 100% free. The only thing we ask is that you make whatever donation you'd like to make. Stuart Fox, gentlemen, assuming each side, this is an interesting one. Assume each side bought 50 units in the same market, in the same area, and that market was appreciating. How much more equity would the single family guy that has 50 houses have compared to the guy that bought one 50 unit apartment building?
Let me jump on that one real quick. None of us would buy for the question. Value. We buy for cash flow, not for speculation. We've already established that. We wouldn't buy it.
Right. So hang tight 1 second. Let me finish the question. Of course, this assumes that both sides bought at the right time, the bottoms of the cycle.
There's so many variables. Yeah. Is there a value add opportunity? Can we increase the net income? Because any increase to the net income is an exponential increase to value. Okay, we've got one asset in Ohio. We're raising the rent $650. It's 100 units. That is a $12 million increase in value the minute it's done. So again, and that's an extreme example. That's not normal. Yeah. But I wanted to give you an extreme example. So any increase to the net income. So there's a lot of variables. That's very hard to answer, candidly.
And I think one of the things that Rod didn't say is, like, even if he's not in an appreciating market, because he can increase the net income, he's creating appreciation. He
that's
doesn't
right.
have to speculate. He doesn't have
it's,
to wait.
It's not
on
based
it.
On comparable sales. And that's
he's
the one
making
drawback.
It happen.
Yeah, it's and, not based and, on comparable sales. That's the
exactly.
one drawback with the other camp.
Single families valued based on comparable sales. What did the house down the street sell for?
The way you buy it could be based on cash flow. We buy it for cash flow.
Valued based on the income approach, which is what is the net operating income that the property produces. And if you can increase the income and decrease the expenses, then you increase the net operating income and the multiple that the property sells at.
Rob, so the answer. Swanson is the answer.
I did the math, guys. It's $23,566,213.
Yeah. On what? Elaborate, Rob.
That's how much more it goes up. No,
that's how much more the single family guy has than the multifamily guy. I did the math right down to the dollar.
You need to get a new calculator.
The first point I made was none of us would buy for the speculation. I mean, we've all learned that from the last question. You know, we would buy for the cash flow too. You're considered, and Tim, the way you're positioning, you know, we buy for income. You guys buy for based on comparable sales. But if you're buying the asset, whether it be a single family home, if you're buying it with the intention of renting it, you're buying it for the income as well, right? Mm-hmm. So every one of us is all about buying it for the cash flow, not speculation. And then another, the guy's question, you know, buy it at the right time. It's always the right time. I mean, if you're competent, you know what you're doing, you have good mentors, get out there and buy for the cash flow, and you're going to be fine.
All right, guys, last couple questions here as we wrap up. I know Rod's got a hard stop.
Because I can't grow one, Joe. I can't.
Yeah. Tim, what's the deal? I got a beard. Rob, Rod, Dave, you're the only one without a beard. Dude, what's going on?
I specifically shaved this morning because I thought that we want to look presentable for this thing, and you guys just rolled out of bed.
I love it. I love it. All right, here's a good question, guys. I'm going to ask this question and then one more. Josh Bacon, when you first started on your journey to building wealth, journey to building wealth, did you prefer using debt or cash? He's talking about on the acquisition side to build your portfolios. And what are the pros and cons do you guys see on both strategies?
I mean, leverage is the key. The only way to grow a portfolio, whether it be single fam, multi, anything, you can't save your way to riches. You know, you're going to be waiting a long time. You'll never buy your first deal. So I think I'd like to hear what the other guys think. But I mean, without the use of leverage against real estate, that's the benefit of doing real estate. You can buy, or you can borrow money to actually buy assets. That's how we started this conversation.
So I'm not part of this debate, Dave, but I think I'd push back on you. I know quite a few guys that have pretty large rental portfolios that they don't have a penny of debt, and they didn't start with debt.
Sure. I mean, but I think at some
point, well, they had money to start.
Buy it. They paid off the debt. At some point, they had debt. They started with, what did they save their weight and bought a house? And, you know, like, I think that's essential if you're trying to build any sizable portfolio.
I think maybe clarity on the question has to come into play. What, when you talk about debt, what are you talking about? And I get debt is debt, but there are different terms that go along with debt that are important in the answer to this question. Yeah. And so private money debt is what I would suggest everybody go do to figure out how to get started and build their cash flow. I'm not a big believer in debt. I don't like having a bunch of debt. I saw a bunch of people get their butts handed to them in the last crash because of debt. And so do I use private money debt today? Do I use some non-recourse debt in certain scenarios? The answer is yes, but it must cash flow. It must be bought right. The terms of the debt better be right. So I have a hard time when I hear people say the benefit of real estate is leverage, because that misleads a lot of people. And what they miss in that equation is the analysis of risk. Debt inserts risk into the equation, and you better understand the worst day of that debt risk if you're going to use it.
Agreed. And that's regardless of what kind of asset class you're in.
Because, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it can be used as a weapon for good or a weapon for evil. So,
hey guys, unfortunately, I got to use the restroom before my next thing. So listen, it was very much a pleasure. I'm 60. I'm old. I got to pee a lot. Guys, it was very much a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right. Guys, we're about to wrap this thing up anyways. I just want to personally thank Rob Swanson, Dave Page, and Tim Broad, Rod Cleave. You guys are awesome. You guys are amazing. I chose you guys for a reason. You guys have played all out. You've had some fun smack talking. You've educated, inspired, and entertained us. Just a big debt of gratitude. I genuinely appreciate you guys. Love you guys. And for all of you guys that have taken the time to watch this, it's been 2 hours in. For those of you who have opened up your hearts and your wallets and have made a donation, I don't care if it's $1 or $1,000 or whatever. I appreciate it. It's not going to me. This is going to impoverished children in Guatemala who don't have two pennies to rub together. And we're so blessed and fortunate that we're here, you know, having fun on a Facebook Live. And we have the ability to amass wealth and create cash flow and help and teach others how to do the same. So again, I'm just humbled. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll kind of kick the last word over to you guys if you have anything to kind of take us home with.
Just gratitude, man. Good to see. I consider, you know, somebody had commented earlier, is like, did I just hear from Dave that he took classes from Tim? The answer is yeah. I've learned a lot from Tim Rods. He's somebody I confide in. He's somebody that I personally, you know, like, we deal with haters in the social media world, stuff like that. Somebody's given me flack. He's somebody who would stand up for me, right? And so, yeah, I mean, grateful to be here with people I consider friends and confidants, and I would do it again in a heartbeat, man. I'm glad it's for a good cause. And, you know, I'll go for another 2 hours. I don't care. I'm not 60 years old like Rod Khalif out there. You know, I'm ready to go. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead, Tim. I appreciate you guys. You guys are all dear friends, and respect the hell out of you. So this was a lot of fun. I think you guys held your own far more than what I thought you would. So good stuff there. I mean, that speaks to you guys being amazing operators. So I think the big lesson is don't wait to buy real estate. Buy real estate and wait.
That's it.
Yep. Rob?
Man, I think that's it. You know, it's nice that Rod's not here, because now I can bring it home with like some power for the people, and he's not going to like derail it. So the thing is, guys, you know, get involved in real estate. Go make it happen. If you're starting, start. If you're scaling, scale. If you're going to the next level, like, learn all you can about all of the different asset classes. It makes you a better real estate investor. Okay? Never stop learning. And that's what I'll leave it with.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the Flip Empire Show. If you guys are not subscribed, I would greatly appreciate that. My goal and aim is to just add as much value as possible, help you. So if anything I can do, I'm a phone call, a text, or a message away. And again, thank you so much for the time. Love you guys. Signing off. Have a great one.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course, called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.